Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100 and get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions apply. Plus, make sure you fill out our listener survey for a chance to win a $100 SGPN gift card. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/survey.
Howdy ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 322. I was going to go out to my co-host for showing up again, even with his problema voice. If you listened to the last episode, you know Gumby is struggling, but here he is again to give you winning picks. So this goes out to him. I think most episodes actually go out to him. I think he's had the most episodes dedicated to him than anyone else, because I'm so benevolent, obviously. Who would I be? I would be Jeff Chalks Fox, one of your hosts. Thanks for coming to the show. We got some regional action, as we normally do on Mondays for you, before we kick into our UFC coverage Wednesday and Thursday. XMMA, I think we've talked about this promotion at least once before, but they have a pretty, by their standards, a pretty packed card with a lot of names you will be familiar with, even if you just watch the UFC. So we're going to get you the picks for that, but I wouldn't have any. Well, I guess I could probably pick winners here, but I'd rather have an expert do it. So that's why I have the man with the problem, my voice, Daniel Gumby Vreeland, here once again. Hello.
Yeah, this, I know you said this is a packed card for them, but these guys are all over us with names we've heard. So yep. Like, if you look at their last event, it was Will Brooks and Violent Bob Ross, Ibra Kasangane and Jared Gooden. Andre Harrison was on the card. Austin Hubbard, Julian, just bang bro Lane, DeMarcus Jackson, Josh Rittenhouse. Do you remember Teruto Ishihara?
Yes.
Yeah, he was on it. Sasha Poliznikov lost on it. Carl Williams, the guy who's now in the UFC and is actually fighting this weekend on short notice, was on that card. So like, they loaded up. XMMA, I don't know where they're finding this money, but they're signing some big talent.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what's the deal here? Why are they getting people, so many people? Is a manager attached to this promotion?
I don't know, because it doesn't seem like it, because they're all from like different management teams and stuff.
Okay,
like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a weird one.
Yeah, Jordan Deichler is the matchmaker. I don't know that name. Do you know that name?
No.
Okay, well, that's a
weird
anyhow.
Weird one for me.
We won't complain about it. Yeah, I don't know what they pay out, and they're fighting this week in South Carolina, which I don't think that commission releases purse info, so I won't know how much money these people are making, but must be making decent money, because, yeah, it's a bunch of names, like I said, you'll be familiar with. Gumby would say household names, but I don't think I'll go that far, unless you're a hardcore. I guess everyone who's listening is hard.
Yeah,
people who listen are definitely hardcores, especially if you listen to XMMA podcast. We're the only podcast around that's covering XMMA, right?
I would have to imagine.
Especially how to bet on it. Now, I didn't find odds for this. Our odds, We are a WinBet family here, but are odds usually readily available for XMMA? Do you remember in the past?
So this is only their sixth event. They have for multiple ones before. I've checked in on it before. So they'll show up in the usual, like, you know, seedy online sports books that you can find.
Exactly. One place that's not seedy and online is WinBet, of course. We, like I said, we are a WinBet family, and we are WinBet is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WinBet is now active in Massachusetts and tons of other states. Be on the lookout for the WinBet Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WinBet Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WinBet, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is here. So many ways to bet on the big dance. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And of course, for our degens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. So much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WinBet app. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, let's jump into XMMA 6 Bash at the Beach. They stole a name from the defunct WCW wrestling promotion, but Bash at the Beach is going down to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina this Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Prelims, YouTube. Prelims YouTube and main card YouTube. Well, that's what we like to hear. Free and on YouTube. 14 fights, excuse me, in a cage. We're going to break down the juiciest five, the top five choices that Gumby has picked for us. We're going to start with some big boys, I believe. It is on the main card, and it is heavyweights. Calvin Tiller versus Jared Vandera, a favorite of ours, right?
One of the best UFC records in history.
One of the best. Let's tell you all about that record, Mr. Vandera. He's 12-10, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 3 times. This is his debut in XMMA. He went 1-6 in the UFC. Last 5 fights, that was all in the UFC. 1-0 on the Contender Series, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
He's back in the regional scene, so maybe this is where he's going to shine. He's 2 years younger than Taylor, 4 inches taller, 6 inches of reach. And as I said off the top, we don't have odds for this yet. Tiller, the mama's boy, is 12-5, 4 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been submitted 1 time. This is his XMMA debut as well. He's gone 1-3 over his last 4 fights. However, he did win his last fight via knockout. 3-4 in PFL, 0-1 in World Series of Fighting, 3-0 in Bellator. This guy has been around. Used to fight at light heavyweight, used to fight at middleweight. 2011 pro MMA debut. Based on the last weigh-ins, he was 10 pounds heavier than Vandera. Go ahead.
So I'm coming up with lines on these two. I'm gonna say Tiller and Vandera probably comes in close to even. Like, let's say -115 apiece, -110 apiece. Because on one side you got Vandera, who has a fair amount of name value because he's fought 7 times in the UFC, but on the other hand, he's lost 6 of those. And he's lost 6 of those in kind of ugly fashion. So, you know, I think the unknown Calvin Tiller probably comes in about even. He's got a nice enough record. But is it going to be giving up a lot of height and reach? I'm still going to take Tiller here, and here's why. First of all, I just fundamentally do not trust the fight IQ of Jared Vandera. Jared Vandera's fight IQ is one of the worst things I've seen out there. You know, you look at some of those fights, and, like, he chose to grapple with Alexei Oleinik. He was like, let's grapple, Alexei Oleinik. And then the next fight rolls around, he's like, let's box, Chase Sherman. Like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, literally do the opposite of what you're doing. In this game, might work for you. And instead, he didn't. And the thing about Tiller is, too, is, like, his losses are to very good dudes. Like, he was in PFL, and the losses are to Jared Rochalt twice, Dennis Goltzoff, who we talked about last week, and Ali Isaev, who was pretty damn nasty, too. So, like, he's fought and lost to some pretty tough dudes, and the dudes he's beating are all either with his big knockout power, which he does have some real, real huge knockout power, or he's low-key got really good submissions. You know, he tapped out Modarice. He actually did tap out Jared Rochalt in their first fight. They fought 3 times. So, like, he's got a little bit of submission skills. I don't like the fact that he is, like, gained a bunch of weight, because this is a dude who used to fight down at, like, 185, I think, for a little while. It might have been, like, 190 catchweight fights. But, like, he used to fight way down, and now he's, like, maxing out the heavyweight. That worries me a little bit about him. But at the same time, like, I just trust him to like do the smart thing, which I don't trust with Jared Vandera. So if it's going to be an even money fight, I probably stay away from it altogether, because like they're both like kind of have big flags that you don't want to pick against or pick with. But I think that flag's way bigger on Jared Vandera.
Yeah, he can't. His IQ can't be that high. He agreed to appear on the Top Turtle podcast in the past, right?
Yeah, he can't. He was a real weird interview, if I remember that too.
It was a weird one.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
I imagine that. I left that one feeling kind of unsettled.
Yes, he's an interesting fellow. All right, let's move on to bantamweights. Ricky Bendejas versus Josh Rittenhouse. 3 5-minute rounds. I will tell you about Rittenhouse first. The finisher. He's 17-5, 6 knockouts, 7 submissions. So I guess 13 finishes. That's pretty good. We can call him the finisher. For now, he's been submitted 3 times. 1-0 in ex-MMA. He's won 7 of his last 8. He won his last one via TKO or KO. One or the other. One of those things. 0-1 on the Ultimate Fighter. 1-1 in World Series of Fighting. 2011 pro MMA debut. Bendejas is 15-7, 6 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been submitted 4 times. This is his ex-MMA debut. He's got 1-2 over his last 3 and 2-4 over his last 6. Did lose his last fight, but that was back in March of 2022. So maybe he's a new man now. 3-4 in Bellator. A year younger, 4 inches of height, 5 inches of reach on Rittenhouse.
So for this one, I think Bendejas is going to be a decent favorite, probably somewhere in the like negative 165, negative 170 range, right? Plus 145, plus 150 coming back on Rittenhouse. And I'm actually going to go dog here. I like Rittenhouse quite a bit. I loved him on The Ultimate Fighter. I thought he was going to do some pretty good things. And he wound up just getting like a little bit outworked in the wrestling by Brady Heestand, which in retrospect, man, Heestand looked so good in his UFC debut. Well, that second UFC fight, right? Because he lost to Ricky Tercios in the finals. But he took it to Freddie Garcia. He looked damn good. That's another guy we're going to be talking about later this month, Brady Heestand in UFC. But yeah, Rittenhouse, good wrestling, sneaky good submission skills, especially like back when he was in M1, which you don't see many American guys over at M1. But he had really good wrestling skills and jiu-jitsu skills in M1. Sneaky good striking. And if you look at all the people who are coming out on top against Ricky Bandeja, a lot of wrestlers in there. This feels kind of like the John Salter recipe, right? The dudes he's losing to, Ray Borg, you know, Leandro Ego, Patchy Mix, all people who can wrestle him a little bit and did wrestle him a little bit. I just don't think Bandejas is going to stay off his back enough to win this one. And if he does, I think Rittenhouse is striking plays too. So yeah, give me Rittenhouse as a slight dog here.
All right, what did you say you're gonna get him at? Hopefully plus one.
Let's say plus 150.
150, okay. Hopefully it's much bigger, but we shall see. All right, what should we move on to now? Let's break down another fight, shall we? Let's move. Actually, same weight class. Bantamweights. Louis Sanudakis, a Canadian, versus Vince Morales, a name you shall know. All right, Morales is Vendetta. He is 11-7, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. This is his ex-MMA debut. He's lost 2 straight fights. Before that, he won 2 straight fights. He went 3-5 in the UFC, 2-0 in Bellator, 0-1 in the Contender Series, was a regional champion, used to fight up at featherweight, and he's a year younger. Sanudakis. Sanudakis Leonidas is the nickname. He's 9-3 with 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 1-1 in ex-MMA. He's won 1 of his last 3, which was his last fight. He did win that. And that was in April of 2022. So he's been out of action for about a year. That's all I got for you.
I'm going to say the favorite in this one is Morales. Sort of the same reason I said Vandera's line would be close. The difference maker here is that, like, Vince Morales didn't have an awful UFC career. You know, he went 3-5, a little bit nicer looking. And if you look at the guys he lost to, Song Yadong, Benito Lopez, Chris Gutierrez, Jonathan Martinez, Miles John, tough list. And that includes a win over Ayman Zahabi, one over Luis Smolka. But if you look at all of Vince Morales's fights in the UFC, even the ones he won, he had a lot of trouble with the wrestling. Draco Rodriguez took him down 3 times, and it really did control him quite well. And the thing about Sanudakis is he's got sneaky good wrestling and grappling. He doesn't always go to it. Sometimes he's like just happy to throw punches. And I will say, from his standing standpoint, I don't think he's as good as Morales. He's got like a southpaw stance, and sometimes he's a little flailly on the feet. But in his last fight, when he fought Takeki Matsuda, who's another UFC veteran, it was probably 50-50 on the feet, and he was just instinctually was like, this is too close. I got to do something different. He went to the wrestling, and the wrestling worked, and he came out on top of the decision. So for me, I like Santodakis because he mixes things up better than Morales. Morales is just not a guy who mixes things up well. You know, he's kind of got that Firas Zahabi coaching, which is really smart. So I like that he does that. And I think on the feet, he does well enough to hold his own against Morales. So I'm going to take the dog here. I think I'm going to say he's plus 215 probably here to like a negative 240 for Morales or something like that.
Very nice. Very nice. Hopefully we get a nice big dog here hidden. All right. Let me tell you about another place we are sponsored by, which is, of course, Underdog Fantasy. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy continues their March Madness College Pick'em. It's a great way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket is busted. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props and great NBA and NHL daily games. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. We are moving on to co-main event time. It is going to be at welterweight, Glycko Franca versus Nashon Burrell. A couple of names you probably know. We'll tell you about Burrell first. The Rock and Rolla. Nashon Burrell is 19-12 with one no contest, 12 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. This is his debut in XMMA. He's got 4-1 over his last five. However, he did lose his last fight, which was back in March of 2022. His fight up at middleweight was a regional champion. He's missed weight three times at welterweight, something to keep an eye on heading into this fight. This is at welterweight. He went 1-2 in Bellator, 1-1 in the UFC, 3-1 in Strikeforce. There's Strikeforce popping out of the sand again. 2010 pro MMA debut for Burrell. Franca, the Brazilian zombie, 22-8 with one no contest, 11 knockouts, 9 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted once. 0-2 over his last two, 1-3 over his last four. He got TKO'd his last fight. This is his ex-MMA debut as well. He went 2-1 with one no contest in PFL, 1-2 in UFC, 3-0 in the Ultimate Fighter. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. He used to fight at lightweight, so down a weight class. 2012 pro MMA debut. A year younger than Burrell, an inch of height, 7 inches of reach somehow. Go ahead.
This is an interesting one. I'm going to say Burrell comes in as a slight favorite. Probably like negative 145 to like plus 125, plus 130 here. I'm going to say this. I think if you look at their total body of work, it might be really tempting to say like, Franca all day here. But the problem is that they're on like completely different trajectories, right? Franca is an Ultimate Fighter champion. He won the show and he did so by beating four really legit dudes with rear naked chokes. Roush Manthio, Nicholas Moda, Joaquin Silva. You know, incredible. But then since then, you know, he lost two in a row. James Vick, Gregor Gillespie, nothing too terrible there. And then he wound up in PFL where he started getting injured all the time. He took 2 years off after his last PFL fight, appeared on the regional scene in this promotion called Face the Danger, which is just phenomenal. Last fight he fought on the Fight Music show. So like he's been fighting on kind of like this like pretend bum shows that I've never heard of. And like he's not been fighting good people either, and yet he's still like getting beat all the time. I mean, like, I guess his last fight in PFL was good against Michaud, but David Michaud. But like since then he's like fighting guys on the regional scene, not particularly tough guys. He's looking slow. He's kind of looking old, although he's actually not that old. He's only 32. Whereas like Nishan Burrell literally did the opposite. You know, back in 2018, he looked awful in a CES MMA fight. Took 2 years off. I thought he had retired. He showed up again, started fighting for CFFC, and just steamrolled through a whole bunch of young prospects that I think they were trying to build his name off of him. And then wound up winning a main event against, you know, UFC veteran Kyle Stewart. He did lose his last fight, which is why I think you're going to see the odds come down. But it was against Ikram Oluskarov, who I don't know if you guys remember from the Contender Series. The dude's a fucking beast. He finished his opponent super fast. And Burrell took him to decision. So let me tell you something. Taking Ikram Oluskarov to decision is already a feat, because that dude has not been to a decision since, let's see, it says 2018 was the last time he went to decision. And he's only been to three in his entire life. And the other one was Chad Hanekom, who we regularly talk about to get a UFC contract. So, you know, I just think Nishan Burrell is on a good upward trajectory. It looks like after that 2 years off he took, he's fixed his boxing. He's like mixing in enough of his wrestling that it like opens up more of his boxing. Obviously, you can't do that against Oluskarov, but I think you can against Franca here.
All right. So what number are we getting him for again?
I'm going to say like negative 140, negative 145.
Excellent. Hopefully it's even better than that. All right. Main event time. It is going to be at bantamweight. Sadio Kakhramonov, a familiar name, a recent familiar name, versus Francisco Rivera Jr., another name you probably are familiar with as well. Let's tell you about Cisco first, Rivera. He's 15-10 with one no contest. He's won 10 fights via knockout, but knocked out twice, submitted four times. He's gone 1-3 over his last four fights, including losing his last fight via submission. 4-6 with one no contest over two UFC stints. He has failed a drug test in the past for a banned substance. Used to fight up at featherweight. 0-1 WEC. WEC never die. 2008 pro MMA debut and an inch of reach over Kakhramonov. Kakhramonov is 10-3. Three knockouts, four submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. This is his ex-MMA debut, as is it is for Cisco. He is 4-1. He lost the last one via submission. He went 2-1 in the UFC, 0-1 in PFL. He's fight up at featherweight, was a regional champion, and is 14 years younger than Rivera.
Yeah, this should be negative 600 for Kakhramonov, maybe more than that. Maybe negative 750. He's just going to be a massive favorite. He beat the hell out of Trevin Jones. He beat the hell out of Ronnie Lawrence. And he was beating the hell out of Sedna Magomedov until he got caught in a guillotine choke. It's a shame this dude's not still in the UFC, because he'd be tearing people up there. You know, there's so much to like about him. Crazy KO power, excellent wrestling, good jokes. Like, dude, Sadio Kakhramonov might be a top 15 bantamweight in the UFC right now. Had that fight with Sedna Magomedov not ended with him getting caught in a guillotine choke, right? Like, he probably would have been worthy of a vote with that win. And granted, you know, he still had a round and a half to go, but he was clearly winning that fight until he got caught. And then you're going to pair him with Francisco Rivera? Like, no offense to Francisco Rivera. Love Francisco Rivera. Loved him in WEC. Loved him in the UFC, his early days in the UFC. Loved him in Tachi Palace. He fought in Tachi Palace. He's got a win over a guy who challenged for the UFC title. He beat George Roop. He beat Alex Caceres. But, like, he's old. He's losing to guys like Cody Gibson now, and he's losing to guys like Cody Gibson by wrestling. Like, Cody Gibson, like, out-wrestled and subbed him. Dude, if Cody Gibson is going to out-wrestle you at his advanced age and, like, this late into his career and all that kind of stuff, like, Sadya Kamkrakramanov is going to beat the ever living shit out of you. This should be negative. This should be negative 2000. So if you want to throw this one in a parlay, by all means, add Sadya Kamkrakramanov to every single parlay you do this weekend.
Throw him in a parlay. All right. Let's recap. Kamkrakramanov, probably a very big favorite. If he's not a big favorite, grab him. We'll grab him regardless. The Rock and Roller, Nashan Burrell as a slight favorite. Sanudakis, hopefully as a pretty big underdog. Rittenhouse, hopefully as a little underdog. And Taylor as pretty much a pick'em, right?
That sounds right to me.
All right, Gumby made it through, and hopefully his voice is healed up for Wednesday because we have a UFC pay-per-view coming up. UFC 287 goes down this weekend.
We had an unfortunate tragedy on this one. Did you see?
No. What was the tragedy? What happened?
We just lost the most exciting fighter on the whole card.
Let me see. The Leech?
No, Huggy Bear just fell off.
No, he did. No.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got bad news for you. If you're just finding this out now, listening to me on Monday, Chris Barnett is no longer fighting Chase Sherman. You can no longer get the sweet, sweet, sweet plus 200 nectar of beating Chase Sherman. Which, by the way, the fact that Chase Sherman was a negative 250 favorite on anybody ever, wild. That's a wild line. And I'm really sad we're not going to get it on Chris Barnett. But good news. The Vanilla Gorilla is staying on the card. They got a replacement fighter for him already. You ready for this one?
Go ahead.
Do you remember Carl Williams and his exciting fight recently?
Yep.
Carl Williams. Yeah, Carl Williams will be fighting Chase Sherman, and he's a negative 500 favorite over Chase Sherman.
No way.
Yeah, and did you see Michael Chiesa has a replacement fight too?
No. Do tell.
Joaquin Buckley.
Oh, really? It's a TBD here, but interesting.
Yeah, I at least that's what I just saw on a sports book. Hang on, let me make sure Tapology confirmed that. But I saw Joaquin Buckley is gonna step in and fight him. Carl Williams confirmed. Let's see if we got Joaquin Buckley confirmed yet. Mm-mm-mm. I'm looking it up. This is good radio. They don't have Joaquin Buckley confirmed yet, but a sports book is offering lines on it, so feels like it's happening.
Fantastic. So yeah, we'll have all that fun. Hopefully all of it will be settled by the time we get in your ear holes again on Wednesday. It's going down from the Miami-Dade Arena in Miami, Florida. All right. Until then, get in the Discord and chat with us, and we'll let you know about all these fight announcements and cancellations and whatnot. It would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. We usually hang out in the fights channel in there. We also hang out on Twitter, SGPNMMA. Is the account Gumby runs for us. He's also at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. I run moneymma.substack.com. Get a free or paid subscription there. You get half off for a year if you subscribe to a paid one now to get all my stuff. And because at the very least, play my pick'em contest I run every week. I will be running it again for this UFC pay-per-view coming up. So you can catch me there. You can catch Gumby on Top Turtle MMA podcast, assuming his voice holds up for it this week. We shall see. And all our writing, which we don't need voices for, can be found at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And despite not being able to speak, I'm going to make Gumby send us into the night or morning, technically. So go ahead.
All right. I'm Dana Gumby Freeland. He's the mama's boy, Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Wednesday.